Sunday, September the 11th, 2011.
It's the best blog weekend show. Hop on board, we'll take you where you wanna go. We're heading out to Lakeshore Drive. Football makes us feel so
After watching our quarterback hobble off the field the start of the second half of the NFC Championship game, after watching the Green Bay Packers go on to win the Super Bowl, after watching both sides walk away from the negotiating table subsequently thereafter, and watching the commissioner booed here in New York City at the NFL Draft, after months upon months of jockeying for positioning in the press and with the fans, the NFL, ladies and gentlemen, is back. And there is no greater time of year for the NFL football fan than this, the week leading up to the first week of the season. Because it's in this week where everything is possible. Everything is possible. There's a great line in the Stephen Sondheim show Follies. Yes, that's right. I'm going to go to musical theater on you people, so just fucking stay with me. Everything is possible and nothing made sense. It's how these two characters are reflecting on their past. Well, everything is possible for an NFL franchise right now, and nothing makes sense. People will try to argue with you right now that Kevin Cobb's going to win the MVP award. People will try to argue with you right now that Arian Foster is an unstoppable force that's going to take the Texans to the Super Bowl in Indianapolis. People are going to argue with you things that make no sense, like the Giants have capable linebackers, or the Jets don't talk very much. People are going to argue things because they love their NFL team, and they know how this league works, and they know they'll be turned over in the playoffs, and they want their guys to get in. This is the most exciting time for an NFL football fan. But what is it for a Chicago Bears fan? It's a very tricky thing. Most people you talk to seem to think this team's not going to be very good this year. But I simply don't think that's practical. Look at what the team is. Better at quarterback just by factor of him being in this system for a second year. Better on the offensive line. We've seen the productiveness already in the preseason. Better at running back with the addition of Marion Barber. Are they better at wide receiver? I don't know. That's going to be something we're going to have to wait and see. But I don't think a Chicago Bears season will ever be made or broken by the talent at the wide receiver position. Defensive line, the same. Linebackers don't quite have the depth they had a year ago, but you have to hope they don't need it, because if we start getting linebackers injured, the season will start to take that decline. The secondary is going to be just fine. The question the Bears are going to face this year is, how impactful is this new kickoff rule really going to be? How buried in their own zone are they going to start every drive? Will it be the 20 every time? Will Hester be completely voided on kick returns? All this stuff is conjecture now. It's hypothesis. We don't have an answer. That's what makes this week so exciting. There are so many unknowns as the Bears head into Soldier Field this Sunday to play the Atlanta Falcons in what is probably the marquee game of Sunday. There are so many unknowns that it just creates a thrill in the air. We may come out of Sunday and say, oh shit, we're in for a long one. Or we may come out of Sunday and say, this is a team with true potential and the true talent to take that next step and win the Super Bowl. Because I certainly think they're capable. I love the 2011 Chicago Bears. Picks contest, I thought was very successful last year, and I kind of like the way it looked. So we're going to do something very, very similar this year. As always, my brothers and I, in some capacity, will do some picks for you here in the middle of the show each week. And you'll have to listen because you can't duplicate the picks of either myself or my brothers. But you have to pick three games every weekend, every NFL weekend. You pick your three games, and if you get all three games correct against the spread, you get all three games correct against the spread, you get a point. I keep track of that as the year goes on. And whoever wins will receive a gift certificate of about $100 from a company that we're still negotiating with. But there will be a prize, and it will be a fun prize, Bears-related prize. We also have a new sort of sponsor to the show, and it's a little company called Fisheye Vertigo, and they do photography. And if you look up at the top of the site right now, there's one of their photographs. And the setup for the guys and how they work is pretty simple. They basically sit a camera in one location in Soldier Field or in various locations, and they take multiple photographs over a long period of time. They put all those photographs together and make you one image. And I've gotten a chance to see some of them. They're very, very cool. So also, if you win the picks contest this year, you will receive a photograph from these guys. I'm telling you, they're pretty excellent. And it'll be something cool to put in your home bar or wherever the hell you keep all your Bears shit that you hide from your wife. But now we go on to the picks contest for week number one. This is the song of triumph. As a year ago, I bested my older brothers in a game of picking against the point spread. Vegas style, I took them down to Chinatown and gave them a smack on the fanny. And now I am here, the 2010 champion, ready to reclaim former glory. So let's get started the way I always get started. First pick is a interesting one. I got five teams that I've looked at this year that I think are going to do things that people don't expect them to do. And one of the teams I think that's going to be damn entertaining and actually pretty good is the Buffalo Bills. And if Matt Castle doesn't play for the Kansas City Chiefs, I can see the Buffalo Bills making that quite a game in Kansas City. They're laying 6 points against the Bills. I don't think the Chiefs are that good. I think that's too high a line for week one. I think in week three, that would be 3.5 or 4. I'll take the Bills plus 6 at Arrowhead. Second game's not a homer pick. I'm taking the Bears plus 3 in their own building against the Atlanta Falcons. I think the Atlanta Falcons are a little overrated coming into the season. I don't think that passing game will be in sync quite yet. I think the Bears know how to play this team. I think they'll have success playing this team. I think the Bears' offense will click early and will know how to deal with the edge rush coming from Abraham and Edwards. I think this Bears team will be ready to go here from game one of this season. I'll take the Bears plus 3 at home against the Falcons. And game three, I used to always have a rule in week one of the NFL season. I always had a rule, and that rule was simple. Take the highest line on the board and take the underdog. And the highest line on the board right now is the Houston Texans giving 9 points to the Indianapolis Colts. Everybody is signaling doomsday for the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think they're going to win this game, but I don't think the Houston Texans are that good. I think they'll be 9-7 like they are every year. I think the Colts will make a game of this. They got a lot of heart. They got some good coaching on that team. There you go. Colts, Bears, Bills. Take it or leave it. I am the champ. Chris's picks are brought to you by not winning.
Pick number one. Take the Titans plus 3 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Chris Johnson's in camp. They have a decent defense. And the Jaguars cut their best quarterback in camp. They're starting Luke McCown. I had to look him up on Google. I went to Wikipedia. And here's what you need to know. Under career highlights and awards, underneath it, was a big N/A, not applicable. That's all you need to know. Take the Titans plus the 3. Game number 2, Kansas City Chiefs -6 over the Buffalo Bills. I'm not going away from my strategy of last year, which got me back in the running. Always bet against the Bills, no matter who they're playing, no matter what the points. They didn't get any better. The Chiefs did. Take the Chiefs minus the 6. My third game is Monday night. It's the Patriots minus 7 over the Dolphins. I have no confidence whatsoever in Henny, a quarterback. Reggie Bush will probably be lucky to get out of the second quarter without injuring his toenail or something. And the Pats are just damn good. Their defense is good. Their offense is fantastic. I see no reason why the points are only 7 in this game. So there you go. Take the Titans plus 3 over the Jags, the Chiefs minus 6 over the Bills, and the Patriots minus 7 over the Dolphins.
John's pick, sponsorless.
All right, so the first game I like is the Philadelphia Eagles giving 4.5 points to the St. Louis Rams. Listen, I like the St. Louis Rams. I think they're going to be much improved. They have a chance of winning the division, but the Eagles are much improved in their secondary, and the Rams lead the league in passing pass plays of 2 yards or less. All right, so the next game I like is the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans. I like the Titans here. Listen, I'm not sure if Danny Sheridan knew that David Garrard was going to be out at this point when he put the odds in place, but listen, I'm not a big believer in the Titans, but you know, I think I'm going to go with the quarterback situation. I'll take Matt Hasselbeck over Luke, Josh, I don't know, Cade, whatever McNown this is that is passing the ball for Jaguars. It's going to be probably a close game, but I'm going to go with the Titans because they have more stability at the quarterback position. The next game I like is I'm going to take a flyer here. I'm not really sure why the 49ers are giving 5 to the Seattle Seahawks. I know Tavares Jackson stinks. I'm going to go with a team that actually won a playoff game last year and won one against a pretty good team. So even though they have Tavares Jackson, I think that this team could surprise a little bit this year, and I'm going to take the points. Opening weekend, anything can happen. Thanks, guys. Have a great week, and good luck, everyone.
So the picks for week 1, the champion takes the Bills, Bears, and Colts. Chris takes the Patriots, Chiefs, and Titans. John takes the Eagles, Titans, and Seahawks. Post your picks below this thread. Remember, you cannot duplicate any of those sets of picks. You have to go at least one different than either me or my brothers. And the winner at the end of the year will get a nice little picture here from the guys at Fisheye Vertigo and a gift card still to be named. The Reverend's rant often contains foul language and is not suitable for children or anyone with any interest in seeing the Sarah Jessica Parker vehicle. I don't know how she does it.
You'd think that given the tiny-ass fucking offseason following the lockout that the Bears wouldn't have had much of an opportunity to piss me off. But, in true Bears fashion, they managed to cram a fucking full year's worth of bullshit into 6 goddamn weeks. So much so that I actually have a fucking top 10 list of shit to piss me off this offseason. And that really just serves to piss me off further, because top 10 lists are a fucking trite, overused device. But screw it. Let's go. Number 10. The draft day botch. There was 3 days of fucking legal football activity between February and July, and the Bears still managed to fuck some shit up in that period. Screw Harbaugh on his pick, but he's right in saying that shit was straight Bush League. It was embarrassing. Number 9. Roy fucking Williams. Seriously? We decided to go for the ass clown and they stab me in the scrotum every time I see it fucking first down gesture? The guy who made that exact same fucking sign after dropping the fucking ball during the Giants game? His presence makes me want to rape inanimate objects. Number 8. Since 4 years ago, Roy was a fucking weapon. We shouldn't miss Greg Olsen, right? After all, G-Reg didn't fit Mart's system. So he has to go. Naturally. Because the Bears make the talent fit the system, not the system fit the talent. Which is why we brought in Chester Taylor and Brandon Malamaluma last season. Oh, wait. number 7. They're gone because they sucked. So that's $12 million we sunk last season getting March guys for a system only for them not to work. Hard to believe mistakes like that coming from the guy that put Todd Collins back at the number 2 spot after the Panther game and kept dialing up pass plays while Cutler took 9 sacks and a half. Totally willing to fucking give him the benefit of the doubt in the Olsen thing then. Number 6. Of course, Angelo refuses to let Marsh be the biggest fuck-up on the Bears. No, he has to go fuck-up releasing Taylor last week. That guy can't even fire anyone correctly. I'd have been more pissed off about that, except... Number 5. I'm too busy focusing on the fact that Angelo only has 2 of his first-round draft picks left on the Bears. One is the Bear Jew, who's yet to take a regular season snap, and the second is Chris Williams, a fucking fat revolving door. Well done, asshole. Number 4. Did I mention Roy fucking Williams plays for the Bears? Number 3. It's a sign how unnecessarily stupid this offseason has been that even the fucking field wasn't ready to be played on. In August, a fact that no one seemed to notice till fans were already filing in the stadium for fucking family night. Number 2. Letting Kreutz go. Jeff and I can disagree, but then he can also go fuck himself. The worst offensive line in the NFL may be better this season, but it won't be because they kicked the leader of the team for a decade to the curb, ensuring that the only player in last year's shit-tastic line who didn't suck now has to play a new goddamn position. I wish Kreutz had punched a few more people on his way out. Speaking of, number 1. Have I fucking mentioned that I fucking hate Roy Williams? Jesus Christ. There, done. Now get to the goddamn season, because it's hard to get fucking worked up about the preseason shit.
And that's where we'll end the first episode of the second season of the Bears Blog Weekend Show. My thanks to Dave and my brothers for chiming in. Podcast software is in the mail. We're going to have some interviews for you starting next week. I'll figure out how those interviews are going to work since they come sort of later in the week and most of your information will be out there already. But I'm not that concerned. Enjoy this Sunday. For a lot of us today, it's Christmas Day. You know, after the age of about 8, you stop really giving a shit about Christmas, but... Sunday is Christmas Day. I had trouble sleeping on Saturday night. I'm not ashamed to admit that. And if you're going to drink and you're going to enjoy the football games on Sunday, do not get behind the wheel of a car. That is a fucking dick move. It's the